So we'll take this time just to chit chat with you a little bit. It's been busy lately, I imagine, in your profession.
It has. It's been bizarre too. It makes me just want to not look at any of it, really.
It's tough when it's nearby, but to have it happen, and what is it, Clackamas? You know better. And then directly after having it happen in Connecticut. I mean, that's just pushing buttons, in my opinion. That's nuts.
I mean, I said to somebody the analogy to me was almost like, and I heard people make, the it's like 9/11 comparisons. People were dealing with that in the same kind of way, that same kind of, tragedy way, that the two shootings coming so close together almost reminded me of. You hit the first tower and it catches everybody's attention and everybody's fixated upon it. You hit the second one and everybody's destroyed. And that was almost what the Connecticut shooting was like, was the second tower. In a way, I think people it really hit people in that just holy shit way.
It's weird because we're so, no or news like constant all the time. We forget about Aurora, but in all honesty, I mean, those three being close together even makes it more potent. It's almost like Aurora is the towers getting hit, and then these two cases are one building falling and then the other. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, and plus, I don't know about you, but there's cop shootings in the newspaper. I'm in Denver, but there's been cop shootings nearly every other day. Is
Since then, Alabama, Las Vegas, yeah.
we're in Alabama.
I think two separate occasions cops killed dudes that were gunmen.
That's weird. Well,
It's
Alabama is so. I grew up in Alabama, actually. That's why it
okay.
stunned me that you said that. Yeah, but that's like you. I mean, that's the first thing. You go down to Alabama, you go over to somebody's house, the first thing they do is show you your gun or their gun. You know what I mean? The first thing that you got to see this new hunting rifle I got. Look at that scope. That's the first thing. They're all about it.
I'm from West Virginia.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. I
So
forgot. That's
you
even
don't
worse. I'm at the bottom of the
really
Appalachians. You're right in the middle. Wow.
So you're in Denver, and so where's the other person coming from?
He'll be here in just a few, I'm sure. I actually see him on Skype. His name is Douglas Bowles, and he is in Boise.
Oh, okay.
So, we're both an hour behind you there on the east, or the west, I mean. Excuse me, I'm a quirky dude. I say weird stuff sometimes, so just.
Are Idaho and Colorado the same time zone?
Yes.
Huh, okay.
But anyways, it's disturbing. I mean, all the signs. I'm not really nervous about 2012, but there's enough in the mixing pot to drive somebody mad. I would be surprised if we didn't get either a shooting like directly after. I don't know. Do you suppose that this is kind of making people like a little bit on edge? Just
Oh yeah.
the crazies crazier, if you would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 'Cause it's in I don't know, 'cause in my two different jobs in a way, 'cause I went and we can this'll, we can basically get into all of this in the talk that I went to work for a show called Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis about 3 months ago and became the producer of that. It's more of a sort of kind of paranormal and parapolitical show. So, long story short, it covers aliens and monsters and all that kind of stuff way more than I ever did in my media monarchy work. Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Slow.
Slowly. He may not answer just yet. He might be getting prepared. But yeah, I actually listened to Ground Zero, and I was wondering about that because, I mean, on one side you have the history with Corbett, which is so Corbett's straight up and down, in my opinion. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He's a
Yep.
very, very analytical individual. And even your media monarchy was mostly news and so forth and so on. But Ground Zero is like one day you guys might be talking about ghosts, the next day it's Bigfoot. I mean, that's just like a potpourri of tinfoil, but it's cool. I mean,
I think so much of it rests as it always does. I think in the sort of field of what is basically, you know, commercial talk radio. Oh, and it turned my video off to you, didn't it?
Yes, sir, it did.
Okay, I see the light on my camera turned off.
But did you notice how there was that one little moment where we could all three see each other?
Right, it teases you. It's like...
It does.
I may as well just say start free trial.
And then we I don't...
see each other.
I see.
Oh, I always just click.
I can see you again, James. Or
yeah, sir, I was able to turn it back on
magically. So,
But what I was going to say about Skype with Corbett, we do it through Skype. Sometimes he doesn't even turn on his video for me. He shoots himself on a different camera on his end, and captures my video through Skype. He then puts those in and split screens them in Final Cut.
That guy's busy, isn't he?
Man, it blows my mind.
I visit his site every morning. Actually, this show was inspired, being 42 minutes, by your new world next week, because it's usually only 15 to 20 minutes. And I love it because it's like, this is my weekly, you know, crash course in some news, right? And then so I was like, okay, we need the same thing just for sync. Do you know what I mean? Just to interview and dig into the individuals who are interested in this field. But we'll get to all that in just a second.
Okay.
Douglas, my man. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, we are recording.
Okay, so let me get our official... 42 minutes clock.
Should I turn off Dave Brubeck?
No, you can leave it. I would actually, it's very pleasant if you would leave it.
It's going to run out here in a minute, though.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We'll just talk for a little bit longer if you don't mind, James. It is getting late, though, for me.
And even kind of, we can just start to wrap it up.
Okay.
But so that's interesting what you just said, though. So you look at those disparate elements and say, who's manipulating this? Is that...
You with all of those events happening in the system at one time...
Because I know a lot of the people that we end up... associating with, that was too much for their brains, and so they had to take that beyond like an elite into almost a spiritual thing where we have archetypes, like,
I totally agree with that, because it reaches a point where it's like, I don't think I necessarily buy into the unified field conspiracy theory that there is just, you know, these couple of hands pulling the strings. I always liked Richard Grove, always called them, you know, multi-generational serial killers. And that they were, you know, middle management families kind of, you know, battling it out like gangsters do. But you ultimately have to go, okay, it has to be even deeper than that. And like I said, the mind is a powerful thing, and we know these archetypes because they're hardwired into us. So I think when these stories kind of play out, there is something greater than ourselves and greater than so-called elites at play. There is some kind of cosmic... thing that is, you know, is repeated, and that's why the classic stories, you know, whether it's, you know, Shakespeare or others, you know, we live in Shakespearean times. When we look back at these things now and go, oh, wow, you know, that, what a crazy, you know, tapestry in a way. And we're all just kind of playing those roles in a way, but we're trying to figure out whose tune we're dancing to or whose stage we're acting on, maybe.
Look, James, I want to thank you for everything that you have done. You have been a great inspiration to us and a constant pool of information.
That, to me, has always been the most exciting part about it, is that if I can share my excitement and sort of wonder about all of this, that it can't all be bad shit. It can't all be bad all the time. It can't. It just, there's, I mean, ultimately, that's, you know, Corbin and I try and say sometimes that, you know, you got to remember to get outside and run and, you know, play and laugh and love, because that's ultimately why we're trying to expose the New World Order, is so we can have time to laugh and love and play and grow and do things that free, loving, you know, humans should do.
Wonderful.
Like a hippie. As time goes by, more, and the years, you know, post 9/11 go by, and post early days of kind of media monarchy and kind of being under the sway of, you know, the InfoWars, martial law is coming kind of thing, I almost become probably more measured as time goes by. So when these events happen, like Connecticut, where even now, I mean, from everything I've even just kind of looked at a glance in a way, it's like, oh, this thing looks kind of suspicious and bizarre. You know, why is his dad, again, another kind of financially connected insider?
Right. It's weird on this whole the shooting thing, that the newspaper was talking about how what's his name, Lanza or something, the new shooter. He has a person connected to him named Holmes, who always used to target practice with him. It's like, what in the hell?
And that's, I think, the interesting thing. That's what some, you know, someone like Lauren Coleman, who kind of lives in the two different worlds of almost just being kind of a crime reporter, but he also does the whole cryptozoology thing. So maybe he is the perfect guest at some place like Ground Zero, because it's the merging in a way of those things.
Right. It's just strictly Freudian. That's what
Did you have him on before or after this shooting?
When Clackamas happened, Clyde called Lauren just on the phone to talk to him Wednesday morning, because the shooting in Portland or in Oregon happened Tuesday, and we were already at the station working on that night's show when it happened. So that next morning, Clyde called Lauren, and so we went ahead and kind of booked him. And while we were basically figuring out when we were going to cover the Clackamas shooting on Ground Zero, because Clyde has the tendency sometimes to want to, you know, fly off and go. And it was just like, dude, we know very little. Like, let's wait. Let's do some homework for a couple of days. Let's gather up our synchronicities and see what we're looking at here. And let's cover that Friday night. So let's go over the Clackamas shooting Friday night. It'll give us a little bit of space. It won't, you know, because if we would have done a Ground Zero show about the Clackamas shooting, you know, the night of or the night after, I think it would have been maybe tasteless and it wouldn't have gone over well, and we hadn't done enough homework.
Yeah.
So we're getting to do the Clackamas show till Friday night. Then Friday morning comes and there's the Connecticut shooting. So we had already booked Lauren Coleman and we had already booked Jack Blood to talk about just the Clackamas shooting. So then having Connecticut happen made it even more, you know, pertinent in a fucked up, sad way that I, you know, Friday going in to the studio, it was almost like, I'd really rather just stay home and play records. I really don't want to wallow in any of this.
What is your newest favorite audio right now?
My newest favorite, like, it's the nerd question is, do you mean things released in 2012 or just new to me?
Well, I mean, what are you into? I think that the 2012 is not the intention, no. Like, sometimes, you know, somebody...
And I hope to have one. I've been doing for the last few years a best of, like, my favorite music of the year, you know, Media Monarchy mixtape, and I hope to have one of those out. It's going to be, you know... no frills. There's not going to be a lot of bells and whistles, but you know, some of my favorite music of the last year is, you know, bands that I've liked and talked about before and always played on the show. That's, you know, the Vaccines and Rufus Wainwright or Lana Del Rey or I forget what else for this year. This year has been kind of a strange year because I found that, you know, like I said, when I quit smoking and kind of lost my shit, I for a while not able to watch and listen to things because everything just reminds you of smoking.
Right.
It was almost like mourning. I really described it as if I was mourning the loss of a friend.
So you don't miss that friend anymore.
That was not your friend.
And a really shitty friend, but they are always there for you.
Sure.
But in a way, you know, I found myself early on, you know, like maybe if it were a breakup or that you really did lose someone, you know, that album you associated with them, you're not going to listen to anymore. So I found myself having to make, and this is, I think, what they all say you should do, is you're going to have to make new habits. You're going to have to make new activities. You're going to have to find new favorite things to do. As the years go by, I become more interested in jazz. Because I've always been able to kind of approach it as somewhat a casual observer. I'm not super passionate about it, whereas where it's like, oh, well, I fucking love, you know, Sloan and Smiths and Morrissey, and I can talk endlessly about, you know, Queen or NXS, like my favorite bands that I love. Jazz is almost something that's maybe a little more academic, but it also has the amazing thing, and my girlfriend and I were talking about this earlier, that it's, you know, most jazz records, at least the kind of classic era jazz records, when you look at them and look at the liner notes, they were, you know, recorded August 16th and 17th, you know, 1963. They were such of a moment. Like, right. Yeah, we did two takes of that song. Here's the best one. Something about that kind of element, and I think that speaks to my love of doing kind of live media, that it's like, it is what it is. There it is.
Okay, so my last question would be about 2012. What do you think that us passing 2012, you know, the 21st, will do to the conspiracy, the whole community that we have here?
I think a lot of it is just going to be a huge sigh of relief. And I'm trying to figure out, we don't know what we're going to do actually Thursday on Ground Zero, the night before.
Right.
I'd almost have to do two shows of like Thursday night, ask people, it's like, okay, what if it was the end of the world? What would you really do if you were told you've got 24 hours to live? And so to me, and I was talking about this with a coworker, if all this mass murder, contagion, and mayhem has some effect of, and again, you know, weakened minds, and so much of what we see in the world is because of weakened minds, and it's because of the food and the health and the mental health issues.
Right.
If you thought it was the end of the world, I'd be out in the streets having sex with everybody.
We don't have to worry about AIDS.
Exactly. Like the Bill Hicks thing, saying yeah. When there's a cure, they do.
Would be fucking in the streets.
Why would you want to go out in a hail of bullets if you were going to die anyway? Wouldn't you want to go out in just a, you know, in a blaze of love?
Right. You are a hippie, dude. You listen to jazz, got the soul patch.
So we do that for Thursday. Say, what would you do if it was the last day on Earth? Hopefully you wouldn't be sitting around calling into a talk show. And then on the 21st, the day of, which of course, you know, we're all going to know by that point that hopefully, you know, there's no apocalypse happening, to basically go, okay, what are you going to do tomorrow? The world didn't end. What are you going to do on the day after?
The apocalypse hangover.
And I think hopefully we can use it as the thing it was always supposed to be. The thing it was early talked about was 2012 was going to be a massive worldwide consciousness raising. And then at some point as the years went by, it turned into the doomsday Y2K thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hide in a way from, you know, I made the joke of being hippie-like, but ultimately, man, that's where it's at. And that's what it's got to all come down to. It's all got to come. I mean, it's fear or love.
No, we got to raise it. We got to raise it ourselves. They can try as they might, but we have to raise the consciousness now.
That's it.
All right. Gentlemen, have a fantastic evening. And James, I will get to you ASAP when we have... We're not going to be able to get all of this up immediately, so I'll kind of tell you as we go.
Okay, yeah. My pleasure. I mean, that's what you always got to watch out when you have other radio hosts on your radio show, because they'll just run their mouths.
Yeah, hopefully we will get to allow you to run your mouth a little bit more later on in our history, if you don't mind.
Please, no. I think I have one other interview request that, again, I've kind of said, no, please, I'd love to do more interviews because I'm not doing my weekly show. So any kind of other, you know, connections and outreach and shows that I can, you know, be involved with, you know, I'd love to do it.
Awesome. Douglas?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Good night. Bye-bye.
And so we're like, hey, you want to move to Olympia? So just kind of out of a fluke, we decided to do that. And, traveled out west and went out there and experienced that for a while. And then I came back here.
And so do you miss it, or was it just like this period of your life? And it's like, well, we did that. Now we're back to the part of the world.
I've lived and I've traveled all over this country, and a lot of my family actually live in this area, particularly my father and my brother. So eventually I came full circle back here just to be around my family, and I enjoyed living out there, definitely. It's a beautiful state, but I like the ocean and the sunlight. And the dreariness, I guess, of the weather out there kind of got to me after a couple years.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I came back here.
Are you there, Will? Can you hear us?
Yes. Yes, I can. Awesome. I think we're good. Is that your dog, Doug?
That's my dog, Doug.
That's your dog, Doug. I think it's one of those tongue-twisting type of nights. I hope I can...
Which chapter in the Think Book are you?
What do you mean? Which number?
Not you, Will.
I know. I'm saying...
I think I'm chapter 7.
Okay. Yeah. Both Will and I are reading. I don't have a paper version. Do you have one, Will?
Yeah. I got my paper version in the mail. I read Mr. Kell's today.
And are you, so one of the things that ends up happening.
Yeah, you're on page 69, which I thought.
Oh,
was
cool. Yeah.
One of the things that happens usually is, so I called you via Skype And then I called Will, and then Will just turns the recorder on, and then in a second we'll start the show for real, and then we'll go for 42 minutes, and then we'll cut it, and then maybe we'll stay on for just a little bit later if we feel like it, to process or, you know, just to finish any thoughts that are
to come down off the sink high.
Yeah, I'm down for whatever.
Okay. But so just know that we're recording already, I bet. Is that correct, Will?
Yes, indeed. We're rolling.
Okay. Did you get that email I sent you?
Yes, sir. I am prepared.
That's because you are a professional.
Gleam.
Okay. And then are you ready to
hit the high notes? Yeah, I can do
that. Okay, 38 degrees in Seattle, 79 in Rio, and 28 in Boise. Here we go. You ready?
5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah. And even more so to sleep when no one cares. It was all I could need. But now I'm I've seen the valley of the shadow of death. Uh-huh. I've seen the mountains, wild childhood. Yeah. That's why I sing about it. I just try to move on and keep my peace about it. But come to think about it, I can't even count the days that I spent starving trying to find some decent housing. That's why I'm always smiling, but on this beat I seem so violent. So ask me about the music scene and what the fuck I think about it. Time flies, I guess that's why I'm bugging. Just yesterday I was rapping with my brother and my cousin. If you had a stove or toaster on, you couldn't use the oven. We knew that we were struggling, we just acted like we wasn't. It was either make it rapping, if not that, then hustling. So all I see is magazine covers in this game. You either surface or you plummet. It's a thin line and I'm just trying to keep my head above it. Damn. And it's so hard to breathe. Yeah, yeah. And even more so to sleep when no one cares. It was all I could need. But now I'm sinking so deep I can't come up for air.
Talk about your artwork, because we just ended that off on a very positive note, but your artwork also is very positive. Would you like to speak a little bit about that real quick?
Well, yeah, my artwork, I try to approach it without knowing what I'm going to paint, essentially. And when I paint them, I'm not on anything, but I do try to put myself in a trance kind of mode and allow the painting to come alive in itself. And there are the outcomes in a session. I did one recently that it was like a couple weeks just, you know, attacking, you know, painting here and there, just seeing where it goes. But yeah, I try not to really think too much about it. And just allow the experience of itself to to flow.
Even digital alchemy? How did you do digital alchemy? Is this one?
Well, I'm also a graphic designer. You know, I do work with that sort of stuff as well. And for this, you know,
That shit's tight. How much is that? How much is that? Digital alchemy. You can buy one of these here.
All right, let's click the link.
That's pretty nice.
We should plug this Oracle Media site, which is at oraclemedia.org, where they can an individual can pick up your book and your artwork.
Yeah.
Or is it? Oh, I'm going to click the full shop tab, and we'll see. CDs, DVDs, book.
So you make music as well, is that correct?
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because this Ouroboros, the whole time when we were talking earlier about the Archon sucking off of us, but at the same time it's like this give and go, all I could think about was the Ouroboros. Or something that I think it was Jung said, something about the subconsciousness needing the consciousness, which then eats the subconscious. It's just like this constant, like, spiraling.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely something that I'm trying to still understand myself. And it's weird even in the Adam process. Like, there's times where I feel like it's outside of me, but then I realize, no, it's me. You know?
There's a good book that I read last year called Big Time, and it's a sci-fi book about this battle between the snakes and the spiders, and they move through time backward and forward, but it's a eternal war, but you don't really know which side you're on, and you don't know who are the good guys are, but, you know, it's that kind of idea of, like, the eternal struggle that... But
yeah,
you could also look at it like a dance, too, because we were talking with the dancer.
Well, I truly respect it, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, this whole light and darkness kind of thing, I think it's both equally pretty interesting in itself. And I'm not like, a lot of people will be like, oh, I got to get rid of darkness. And I'm like, that doesn't seem right, you know.
Yeah, it's the same way I feel about killing ego. It's like, it won't get the job done completely. You know what I mean? It's like you can't just go on this witch hunt for darkness. Because
the ego death is symbolic, but so basically, I think my understanding is that so the ego is king for a time, but then, you know, after you have attained those things you need to attain to survive, then you have to connect to something larger than your individual self. You know, your ego, your spacesuit. You need to connect to the monolith, infinity and beyond.
I've been thinking lately is
and the only reason why I say this is
between the self and ego.
This is 40, you know, that movie, that goofy movie, you know, that is my 2012 apocalypse. This is 40. I'm 40, you know, it's like, it's not the end of the world. It's just a midlife crisis, and it's ridiculous, right?
That's my whole thing. Yep. All day today, I was just telling everybody, it's not like it's the end of the world.
It's just a midlife crisis. This fucker would just let go. He just needs to let go.
Well, that kind of corresponds with, like, you know, like the Vedic cycles of the Golden Age and then the Age of Kali, which we're supposedly in right now, Age of Kali. And, you know, it just...
The Kali Yuga.
Like it's the Kali Yuga cycle, you know, where we have to go through these things to understand it.
Oh.
Right.
So maybe
you,
like,
have to have the car crash. You have to have the near-death experience if you're going to become a medium. You know what I mean?
It's send you this picture.
Yeah.
Today, the sun was so bright, and I was driving down in Boise. There's this one little corridor of what you would call skyscrapers. They're not very tall buildings. But the sun was positioned just perfectly so that it was shining in my eyes. But then in that corridor, there was a reflection, so it looked like there were two suns. And I'm like blinded, and I'm like, why are there two suns? Why are there two suns? And I'm the kind of thing that would probably make Jim Sanders smile.
Was it Nibiru?
It might have been. But it was driving me crazy, and I was at a stoplight, so I went ahead and took a picture of it. And so I just, you made me think about it.
I'd actually seen a lot of photos of people, similar kind of scenario where light is reflecting off of something else and it makes it look like there's another sun in the sky. So, you know, light can be tricky itself.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now I got a headache.
You do?
I'm just kidding.
That might be a good sign.
Oh, man, I really do enjoy your artwork, though, I gotta admit, Mr. Kell.
I appreciate it.
Oh, and so it's funny, when I was reading through your piece, you kind of walk through the millennial cosmology, not cosmology, chronology, living in the, and it's funny because, you know, I was thinking you needed to mention the Mardi Gras riots that happened in Seattle, and then the day after that was the earthquake, which I'm sure you felt. The Ash Wednesday earthquake.
Well, I was in Olympia, and I was asleep because I used to work at a bar in Olympia, and I was sleeping in late, and I jumped out of bed as soon as it was happening, and instantly instinct got into the doorway, and I was just standing there watching everything swing side to side really hard in the house. And then, like, when it was over, that whole entire day was pretty awesome because everybody in Olympia came outside and were all nice to each other and talking to each other, which never happened.
Yeah, my
So, I mean, even like bad, semi-bad situations, you know, it does seem to turn out good, you know?
I can feel that.
Well, I didn't ever consider, this was long before I was doing, you know, like quote-unquote sync, even though I was definitely like examining things and themes, like I would check things out from the library with specific themes in mind, like, you know, oh, this movie and this movie, they kind of talk to each other in this way. It'd be fun to watch them back-to-back, that kind of thing. But
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so just because you don't have a name, I mean, I think it's funny, we always want to explain that. Yeah, I've been sync, you know, back in the 80s, I was totally sync.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because it seemed to really develop, like, the language of it and ability to express it to one another really developed, you know, in the last, you know, 7 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I totally lost my point.
Well,
I'm still trying to understand it myself, but there is something in it, you know, and it's worth exploring. Like, as far as the star map thing, you know, like, what if the sync is that I have to somehow go through a process of my own that it was all meant for me, you know?
Right. I think that about, like, every sync, just about. It was like, that's why we were talking about, well, let's bring up this whole micro-macro thing, because to me this is interesting. There's certain things, like you said in your piece, that, like, mean something specifically to you, or numbers mean something specifically to you, that they might not mean the same thing to other sync heads. But there's certain things that are generalized. You know what I mean? Like you were saying with the World Trade Center. That's, like, just... There's the personal sync involved, but there's also this macro. It's like, or that's just plain as day. Everybody can see that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it does seem, well, for me, it seems like there is a connection between what's happening out there in the stars and what's happening down here, you know, on the earth. And, you know, the ancients always tried to connect that with as above, so below. Everything that's going on up there is represented down here with what we call language or symbols, you know.
Oh, I like that.
So I'm trying to understand that by, like, looking above and understanding what's out there and see if there's, like, a connection with it. And there is. At least it feels like that for me. I mean, like...
Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. The movie The Fountain made such a big deal about Orion, that nebula that he's flying to. And so you call that Osiris. You know, so there was just these connections that I was making in regards to your actual star map that seemed interesting in connection with your 17 also. Not that that was intentional. I'm just...
Yeah, I don't know. But it's interesting because I call it the Osiris star map because of the Egyptians, you know, how they aligned their pyramids in the star map of what they called Osiris, what people call Orion. It seems like it leads, in the Charleston star map, it leads to Sirius. And Sirius is where all the dead Masons are buried, in Charleston. And so I'm trying to understand that.
Okay.
What that might mean.
Okay. Wait.
That's so funny because the star card, 17, the star is Sirius. So then we made it all the way.
No, around. Because the star has to do with connection to the dead.
Well, that's the dead in the fountain. You know, they're going to Zilboba or whatever the place was called.
Dead is also considered to be other or so forth because the influence of Sirius is considered to be either, and Philip K. Dick did it too. He said, Valis has to do with Sirius, but he also said Valis had to do with the dead. And the two are like inseparable. Even Jupiter has to do with the dead. So it's like a symbol for the Akashic record. It's like a symbol for because that's the whole concept of genetic memory, is having the memory of those who are dead. And that's all language does as far as separating us from the other species of the planet. It's language, because we can pass information from one generation to the next.
I don't know why, but I'm totally tripping out on Seattle chronology, because there was all this stuff that happened right before. There was the WTO riots, and then there was the Mardi Gras riot, and then the earthquake, and then I remembered in 2001 a monolith showed up in Green Lake in Seattle. And so, and this was before, you know, 9/11 happened too. So it's just you reminded me of a chunk of my life.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was out there when the WTO riots were occurring, I was watching them from home. And all those events that you're talking about, the earthquake, I didn't even know. I don't think I was even aware of the Mardi Gras riots. But it does seem to be constantly going back to that time with a lot of things that are going on around the world, if you've noticed, you know. And 9/11 is definitely a part of that.
Yeah.
And all these other events ever since then, you know.
All right. Now you understand why I got the headache. There's a lot to be thinking about tonight, guys. There's a lot of shit going on, all right? But,
oh, yeah, there's definitely. I wish I could really, like, convey some of this better, like with photos and whatnot, because it's really strange just how this stuff is laid out. Especially with, like, Charleston. I mean, like, when I'm talking about Sirius or the Dog Star, you know, there's smack in the middle of this place a pyramid, like a 20-foot tall, you know, maybe even taller than that, pyramid.
You know what we should do? We need to have you back on. We need to read your book and then have you back on and talk about your book specifically.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
I think that's a great idea, too. I don't think it can happen anytime soon because we have a lot
to read. It's going to take us a while to read. At least it's probably, what do you say, about a month maybe, a couple of weeks maybe?
This is something I'm thinking, you know, we could think about.
Let's shoot for March or April. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, so we read a chunk of the Sync book, get a large chunk of it, and yeah, we should have you back on and talk about it.
Well, the Sync book's nothing to me. I mean, like, when we do individual people, if the story's not too long, you can get through one little chapter in the Sync book and a sitting, two sittings. But then I always have, like, a book going on the side. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. So do I.
I'm not monogamous with my books.
Yes, we will. We'll do that. We'll do this. This is a good idea because this tickles me to no end that we have. So Alexis did it, right? But
right.
She was influenced by Andras. She read Andras's book and said, "Hey, guess what? I was in a place that was the same way, you know, like almost perfectly exactly right, you know." And that,
yeah, I interviewed Andras. You should check it out.
I have, actually. I have checked it.
And
so now, and it just, it's interesting to me when these things start happening where people are doing the same things at the same time. It's like, just, and this is Goro Adachi's thing too, where he's got the nature of time somehow encoded in the Nile River.
Yeah. River?
Yeah. He would be a great guest.
Well, if he would ever come out of his...
If you can get him on.
Yeah, good luck with that. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard he's impossible, that he's never done one.
Yeah.
I'm friends with the folks over at Red Ice Creations, and they tried to get him on, and he refused.
Have you done Red Ice before?
Yeah. That's like around 2009, I was interviewed on there talking about the star map stuff.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's cool.
See, that just blows my mind that of course people think about the same things, but, you know, so like this idea of as above, so below, you know, meaningful encoded things. This is in the... It's out there, kind of bubbling around.
Well, it's almost like a book above us. And if we can understand to read it, we'll probably realize that it's a book about us at the same time. You know? That seems like what it's suggesting.
And that's the same thing that, you know, the Gators kind of are saying about the archetypes in the film. You know, somehow they reflect the story, the stars on the, you know, the stars on the screen and the stars in the sky are the same.
But I like the concept of the whole book analogy has come up before, and I'm kind of fond of it, I think, because it's very true. It all has to do with language. Even what they see in the films has to do with how they interpret it. That was one of the main things that is so cool about Katze, is the way that the words that he uses and how that changes the context of the film that he was introducing you to. If you're picking up what I'm laying down.
That is our dilemma. Our dilemma is trying to convey exactly, you know, what we're thinking, trying to put out there. Like, a lot of times when I'm even, like, talking or whatever about some of this stuff, it doesn't really quite get out there from what I'm feeling and trying to express. It's really difficult. And, I mean, then you have language barriers themselves, you know. But it seems like that despite that stuff, like, we can tend to connect to one another despite that and come to the same realizations. It's weird.
I really appreciate that when when I realized that other people have come to the same conclusions that I have, not necessarily conclusions, but they've arrived at similar places. You know, they found the same things along the same journey. You know, even if they did it before me and I did it not knowing about their work at all, but I found the same things, it just really reinforces some of the, you know, the things that we're looking at.
Well, I feel like that everybody could probably do that if they tried. But the problem is, like, most people don't. They don't even, like, attempt to look at this sort of kind of stuff, you know? But when we do, we find this connection, and it's really interesting. And so, I mean, like, the more people that can come together on these topics and just discuss it, you know, it'll reveal more, I think.
All
and
right.
I think it's going to reveal itself more and more after the 21st.
We were kind of the early birds as far as that's concerned, do you think, perhaps? The ones who saw Sync pre 2012, because afterwards,
I think that, like, well, when I read, like, what the ancients, you know, it doesn't matter where in the world, from Taoism to Gnosticism to whatever, it seems like that, like, they were trying to convey the same ideas, but over time that has drastically been lost, and for whatever reason it seems like that we might be some of the new people trying to resurface it in our time, you know?
I hear you.
Sync by any other name would smell as sweet? Is that what you're saying?
Did you just say Sync by any other name would smell as sweet?
Yeah.
Jesus. Fucking bowls.
All right. Is it bedtime now?
I think so. I'm getting grumpy.
Yeah, I think it's late on the East Coast, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
more
bedtime.
I have no concept of South Carolina. I have no concept of it. I've not seen the world.
I know. It sucks. I've never been
out
of
the United. Well, it's an interesting place. A lot of people think differently than how it really is. It's actually, to me, you know, it's the first place in the United States where everyone could come together and openly, freely be whatever they wanted as far as spirituality goes. And so when you go around looking at all this stuff, it's not just one group. It's a bunch of them all conveying the same ideas and stuff. And I just think that's really special when people could practice what they wanted without any fear. Openly, and it's the city itself is just covered in all the symbolism all over the place, and I don't know, it has a very interesting history. Like, the first museum of the U.S. was opened here. It goes on and on with that sort of idea, with these sort of open-mindedness kind of philosophies, which is interesting because it eventually gets into, like, crappy aspects about humanity, you know, like slavery and war, even killing off, you know, Native Americans and whatnot. And there's, like, tons of pirates history around here.
Oh,
well.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Because you're on the water, right? Charleston is a harbor, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess a lot of imports came through here, I guess, in the early colonizing days. It's weird. No one really talks about a lot of this stuff. Like, for instance, it's called the Holy City, and it's on the 33rd parallel. And then you have, like, Jerusalem, where everyone's fighting and everything, and everyone calls that place the Holy City. On the 33rd parallel. And I feel like these people who, you know, whatever they were believing, they were trying to create something, something. Well, I mean, there's all kinds of theories. Like they wanted to create the new Atlantis, and for some reason, it seems like I know like Washington D.C. has a lot of interesting perspectives in this realm, but you know, this place has been really hidden, I guess you could say, when talking about these kind of subjects. Like even the museum here hides a lot of the history here. So I'm having to go through and really dig into the history of this place. It's really lost in so many ways. Like I'm really interested in the Native Americans that were here, and who the original Native Americans that were here spoke a completely different language than all the other Native Americans all around the country. They all have a sort of similar dialect, you know, like the Cherokee and whatnot. But this tribe were completely killed off. And apparently, like, this place was very sacred to them. And they, you know, some people believe that they were not native from here either, that perhaps they were from, like, down in the Bahamas or, you know, down south further in the Caribbean. So that's never really been talked about much around here. So I think there's a lot to dig into. But I feel like that anywhere in this country you can do that, anywhere you are. It's crazy.
I agree. That being said, thank you very much for joining us this evening, good sir. And we shall return.
Oh, here. I've got the ending line, so I'm looking at the South Carolina state mottos. And it says, Dum Spiro Spero, which means, while I breathe, I hope. So, and that's the star card, 17, is about hope. So there it is.
While I breathe, I hope.
Yeah, and you sound like a really hopeful guy. It was great to meet you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, and you guys were great to talk to as well. And I appreciate it, and definitely keep in touch with me if you want me back on again.
Definitely, yeah, we will get you on, and I'm curious about where you live now. This is going to be great. Have you read Andras' book yet, Bill? We'll have to do, like, read both those books and do those shows about the same time.
Okay, I've actually read Andras's, but yes.
Oh, you have?
Yes,
I thought you
I
were
have.
Kind of holding off.
Well, I held off until after I did his video, and then I did. And it blew my mind. But we shall have to talk about all of this at a later date. And, gentlemen, have a very good evening.